Praise the Lord. If you get your Bibles out, go ahead and turn to Mark chapter number 5 this evening. The book of Mark chapter number 5. And boy, familiar scripture that we have tonight. Very familiar. And to be honest with you, message after message after message has probably been preached, will be preached, and continue to be preached. But this wild man had a problem. And thank God he knew where the solution would be. And in Mark chapter number 5, verse number 1, you begin to see where Jesus Christ encountered this madman. And if you look in the account of Luke chapter number 8, it actually shows him at the feet of Jesus. But in Mark chapter number 5, verse number 14, I want to read what the Word of God has to say and just see what God has to say for us tonight. Mark chapter number 5, verse number 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. They went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. Verse number 15 always blesses me, to be honest with you. And had a legion. And look at what it says. Sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Something had to happen to that young man. Something had to happen to him that absolutely changed his life and made a difference. In chapter number 5, verse number 16, and they saw, in the chapter number 5, verse number 15, and they were afraid, speaking of the people that were there. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would be with us, God, as we continue, Lord, during this time of worship, Lord, that we hear something from your word, God. I pray that you would empty me of myself and fill me with the Holy Spirit of God, that I might be able to preach, God, not within myself, but, Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God would take lead, take control, and take control of this service, Lord. We know that we're nothing, and, Lord, without you and apart from you, there's no reason for us to be here, but we praise God that you said, where two or three are gathered together, that you would be in the midst. And Lord, we know that you are here. And Lord, we beg you that you just have control in this time. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm thankful for what God does in his word. But here we see this wild man having a problem. And he knows where to go to. He had to be rid of some terrible problems. And the great physician came by. Now, I like it when the great physician comes by my house too. God touches and you're going to see a difference. I know that there's been personal times in my life where God has done amazing things that I have seen. But this man, these demons, recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And you are all very familiar with the beginning passage of the very first 13 verses of chapter number 5. And we see this demonic man that comes to Jesus and he begins to go upon him and he begins to cry out, you know, what are you to have to do with us? You, the Son of David, Son of God, what are you doing with us? Why are you here? And he's saying that I adjure you in chapter number 5, verse number 7, that the demon's crying out with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. So he's recognizing that this demon's already recognizing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I like that phrase where he actually says, Brother Steve, the Son of the Most High God. There is none above him. Jesus Christ begins to have mercy there and he allows them to go into the swine. And the swine run down into the sea and they drown. And then the amazing part to me is a part that in verse number 15 that the people saw this man that was sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid of that. The part that they that doesn't understand is why would they be afraid of a man that's actually acting like we're supposed to act? And we live in a world right now that is calling evil good and good evil. There are people that are calling people like you and I crazy. Because we're trying to do what the Word of God has simply told us to do. They're telling us that we have gone off the deep end. You know, my sister's, Michelle, her testimony that when she was having problems when she was a teenager, that they actually said, oh, they're just going to trace it back to, they're too strict, you're trying to live too good. No, we're just trying to do what the Word of God simply has told us to do. We're simply trying to do what the Word of God has commanded us to do. And the amazing thing, the part about that is they're afraid of Him, and they weren't scared of Him before He wasn't clothed, and they weren't scared of Him, and they just locked Him away. They put Him away. They put Him somewhere else. They just didn't deal with Him. But now that He's sitting and clothed and in His right mind, they're afraid of Him. Something had to happen in that man's life. There's a difference that happened. Now, I thank God that Jesus Christ made a difference in my life. Now, I'll be honest with you, I was 6 years old when I got saved. I was just a young little boy and probably didn't get all out into a bunch of sin before I got saved. But Jesus Christ knows and has cared for me and has given me that eternal life. And I know that I have been forgiven of sin, and I'm so thankful that God has forgiven me. And now here we are. He's sitting here. He's right in His right mind. And Luke chapter number 8 says, where is He? What made the difference? He's at the feet of Jesus. Well, why is that making a difference? Because you can see a couple of things. You can see, number one, the care of Jesus. You know, it amazed me that Jesus Christ didn't ever turn people away. He always told them, come to me, make sure that you're coming to me. He cared for people, and that's what we need to do. Brother Steve, that's what we need to do, is to care for people and to be able to show the compassion and love of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ cared for them, but then He also recognized this, that the cure was Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of things that are going on in our world today where we just need to make sure that we start telling people that Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is the cure for these problems that we're having in this world, the society that we're having in this world. Jesus Christ is the cure for this thing. But then also we can see the complete deliverance of Jesus Christ. God doesn't do anything halfway. You ever met somebody that go and paint their grass or paint their grass? Have you ever painted your grass? I had a neighbor that actually did that one time, but cut half their yard and left the rest of it half unmowed. I was driving down, some of you may understand this, Highway 92 over there coming back towards Fayetteville and from Union City area, and I saw there's a house that for years and years and years, half of it was brown and half of it was teal. And boy, that messed my OCD up big time. I about run off the road every time because I'm thinking, what is wrong with those people? They need to finish the job. But thank God that Jesus Christ doesn't do the job halfway. That when He saves us, He saves us completely. And when He delivers us, He delivers us completely. And He's doing these things. When He died on the cross, He did it completely that we might have eternal life. And thank God that when He got up from the grave, He arose completely, alive forevermore, never to die anymore. Thank God that He's done those things for us. And then it leads this man to something else, that he made a decision for Jesus Christ. Something that happened in his heart changed the way he lived the rest of his life. Something that happens in our heart should change the way we live in our life as well. See, according to the scripture that we have the privilege to read tonight, Jesus gave this man a job to get done. And can I say this, that we have a job to do. We have a large job to get done for the glory of Jesus Christ. We have a job to do that is not able to be done by mere mankind, but it has to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. That Holy Spirit needs to go before us, that we can go and proclaim that Jesus Christ saves and tell others about Jesus Christ and what He has done. Now, those are the things that we need to do. We need to make sure that we have the opportunity to go out and do the job that He has commanded us. At the end of Matthew, what does He tell us to do? To go out and to tell others. Preach in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. And tell them that Jesus Christ saves. And tell them that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that He is coming again. That is our job. Not just the preacher's job, by the way. The church member, not just a church member, but the saved, born-again Christian. It is your duty to tell others about Jesus Christ. See, the amazing thing is He says that He's in His right mind. It's actually not only that He is, not only His sanity is back, but He has self-control. Oh my. Self-control is a difficult thing. Didn't even get an amen on that one. Everybody's afraid of that one. Oh, self-control is a very difficult thing. And I'm amazed that we have a job to do, that we need to have that testimony that Jesus Christ has given to us. And He can do that stuff. But what is this man's job? He was delivered from Satan. He was delivered from the clutches of these demons. He was delivered from what a lot of people never have to deal with. But yet, he has something that he wants to do for Jesus Christ. He has a job to do. Well, what does it turn out? That number one, his desire was Jesus. Look with me in a few verses and I'll hurry along. In verse number 18 in Mark chapter number 5, the Bible says this, "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." There's nothing better than being with Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness, I'd rather spend the time and praise God to just be with Him. And this man only wanted to be with Jesus Christ. His focus, his desire, everything on him was, I want Jesus and I want to be with Him and I want to spend every waking moment that I can with Him. So therefore he's saying, how can I do this? And he's saying, I want to go with you, Jesus. I want to be with you. I remember when I first got saved. How many of you remember the day you got saved? Glory to God. I remember that Friday night, and boy, I get tired. People get tired of hearing me talk about it, but I brag on Jesus that I took two steps off of that Amen corner over the runway over at Atlanta Airport right now, and I just accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And Brother Jerry, I can't go back to that same spot because I'd probably get run over by an airplane at this point, but I'm not worried about having to go to that spot because I know what happened right here in this spot. Glory to God. I know what happened in this spot right here. Jesus Christ came into my life and came into my heart and saved my soul and gave me a new life, an eternal life. And now I have a future that I can continue in our desire to continue to be Jesus Christ. Sometimes, though, we grow cold. Oh, my. We can sit in a church house and be cold. This is amazing to me. I did some research, Brother Earl, and I found out that the coldest place in our solar system, it's not Pluto. I would have thought it was the furthest away from the sun and that sort of thing. But I found out, Brother Steve, that the coldest place, they did some research, the coldest place in our solar system is on the moon. That's not far from us. That's not far from the sun. And you'd think, how in the world is a place that is so close to the sunlight, how in the world is it possibly the coldest place? But I begin to look at that, I begin to think about the heart. I begin to think about churches that are filled with people. Oh my. Churches that are filled with people that have no desire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Churches that are filled, I'm not talking about our specific church, I'm talking about churches all across America, all across this world, that they have a form of religion, they have a form of trying to do and serve, but their desire is not really truly seeing Jesus Christ, and their desire is not to see others come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But here they are, you could live right next door to a church house and be cold as a cucumber. You could sit on a pew and be cold and not have the love of Jesus Christ in your life. But we need to go ahead and get up a little closer and cuddle up a little closer with the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I want all the sunlight that I can get, because those craters at the moon, those are the ones that craters and shadows that never see sunlight. We need to make sure that our light is going to shine everywhere. And we make sure that, oh boy, our neighbors down the street and the neighbors across on these pews know that Jesus Christ. We need a longing for the righteousness and the love of Jesus Christ in our lives. Our desire should be Jesus Christ. Say, well, what is that desire? Well, Psalm 42 says this, "As the heart panteth as the watery brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." There's nothing better than a good cold drink of water. Well, there's Mountain Dew, but praise God, I'm not supposed to have that. Don't tell my wife. Amen. But the good cold drink of water, boy, it quenches your soul. You begin to desire. I used to do that heating and air, and I'd get up in the attics, and I'd get in 130, 140 degrees, it seemed like, and I'd just work and work. And I'll be honest with you, Brother John, I've worked in attics to where I've seen spots, and I didn't know, and just my head was kind of spinning. And boy, just come out of there drenched. And the only thing that would quench my thirst is that good cold water. And boy, there's a spiritual war that's going on that, Brother Earl, if we don't get a good dose of the Holy Spirit of God, if we don't get a good quenching thirst of Jesus Christ, then we're just going to keep thirsting and keep thirsting and keep thirsting. If we don't go to the water of the wells of Jesus Christ, we're going to keep thirsting. And may we not allow that fire to ever grow cold. May we continue. I remember Matthew chapter number. I remember to the day. Glory to God. I'm getting excited now, y'all. Bible study time. Oh, forget it. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 6. Brother Joe was preaching years and years and years ago. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Can I explain to you what happened at that moment? I have absolutely no idea. But Brother Ray, I realized at that moment, God Almighty was speaking to my heart and said, I want you, I'm selecting you, I want you to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to go out. I found out, I knew that was the very moment, Brother Steve, that I began to hunger and thirst after the righteousness. And I want to be filled for Jesus Christ. And I want to do all I can do for Jesus Christ. I want to make sure that my light is shining. And I want to make sure that my soul is never deplete of what I need to do to be able to feed somebody else through Jesus Christ. And I want that verse to be so real in my life. And I want other people. Boy, I can look around and see that people get hungry because y'all are definitely eating. And we don't stop eating. Well, you don't need to stop eating that spiritual food that God gives to us. Boy, the book of Romans tells us, especially in chapter number 6, to starve the flesh and feed the spirit. And boy, there's some things that we need to stop doing in this flesh. And there's some things that we need to start doing that feeds that spirit. And that righteousness begins to bubble up inside of us because we're hungering and thirsting and we're searching for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If we find that ourselves growing cold, we need to get back in that sunlight. We need to throw everything else away and get in the Word of God and get down on our knees and begin to beg God to light that fire back within inside of us to be able to say, my desire, Jesus Christ, is you and only you. Oh boy, our desires there is that longing for righteousness and also never to grow cold. And the Bible says this in Matthew 24, it says, and because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That word iniquity, again, is illegality. It's a violation of the law, wickedness, unrighteousness. Let me go ahead and tell you, sin. Sin. Why would we grow cold? Sin. My goodness, that's one of the leading reasons. Lord, if we just go ahead and make sure that our desire and we continue to keep ourselves away from those things and our desire be Jesus Christ. I know I got to hurry, praise God. But not only is his desire for Jesus Christ, but his dedication was to Jesus. You remember when you got saved? You remember the day that Jesus Christ came into your life and you thought, there's nothing better than this. There's sunbeam sliced bread is not even this good. And I like sunbeam. Now we go and we look at these verses and you say, well, how do you see that? Well, look at verse number 18 with me. And when he was come into the ship, he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Jesus Christ, I am willing to leave everything that I've got and go with you. You say, well, this man didn't have a lot. Oh, we'll get to that. But this man desired to be with Jesus and he was given a job to do. And Jesus Christ is saying, now I'm glad that you want to be with me and you want to spend time with me. And we need to spend time with Jesus Christ. But he said, I need you to stay here. I'm going somewhere. I need you to stay here and do something for me while I'm gone doing something else. Brother Steve, they don't get it. I need you to stay here and do a task for me that while I'm going doing something else, you do this for me. You get Bushane. He's got a good name. Praise God. Bushane. I need you to stay here while I go and do something else. What is a better price? What is a better picture of what Jesus Christ is telling this man, this demon-possessed man, this man that was full of sin, this man that had all the sin in his life, and then all of these things were happening, but then Jesus Christ delivered him and made him new and made him whole, and now he's saying, I need you to stay here. I need you to do something else for me. You realize the day you got saved is not the last day you're supposed to live on earth. Amen. The day that you got saved, if it was over right then, Brother Steve, then Jesus just take you home. But we all have a job to do while we are still here. Jesus Christ is telling this demon-possessed man that was, I'm your commander and I've got some orders for you. I've got something for you to get done. While I'm away, I need you to do this. Our duty sometimes is not easy. Sometimes it's an uphill battle. Sometimes it's very difficult, but we've got a job that God has commanded us to do, to go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in, to go out and tell that Jesus Christ saves, glory to God, to go out and tell them that Jesus Christ is coming again. We need to go out and be dedicated to Jesus Christ. If our life was more If my life was more dedicated to serving Jesus Christ and to be able to show Jesus Christ, then maybe we'd have a few more people that were serving Jesus Christ and be a little more apt to go on and continue to be dedicated as well. And sometimes we have to stand our ground when it's not easy. Philippians 4 says this, therefore, brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, I love what he calls the people of Philippi, my crown and joy. Stand fast in the Lord and my dearly beloved, for now we live and ye, if you stand fast in the Lord, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by or our epistle. What Paul is telling us is we've taught you how to live, and we've taught you, and glory to God, we go to a great church and we have a great pastor and we've got great people here and we've got great leadership, and I'm thankful for being part of this church. But I'm here to tell you that if we just go out and we don't listen to what our pastor preaches, if we don't listen to the things that are taught to us, and we just go and continue on, our dedication is not going to do anything. We're not standing our ground. We need to stand for Jesus Christ. I was once sent a picture one time that a boy was holding a sign that said, Jesus is not God. False doctrine. We need to stand our ground, Brother Earl, and say, that's wrong. The things that are going on in this world, Brother Jim, we need to stand our ground and say, that's contrary to what the Word of God is teaching us and telling us. We need to stand our ground and say, that's wrong. We need to make sure that we're standing. Now, we got to stand on biblical principles. We have to stand on what else. But I can tell you that Jesus Christ is God. I can tell you that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we've got a job to do. We got to stand our ground. We got to say that Jesus Christ is the one and the only way to heaven. But we need to stay true, too. Oh, Paul was one that said that I'm ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. Finished. I love this. My course. My course is not your course. My job may not be your job. Or your job is not my job. But we all have a job to do for Jesus Christ. Brother Christopher is going to preach to the juveniles there, and I'm so thankful that he is able to do that, and because God has given him that job to do. And I'm glad to see young people that are willing to stand for Jesus Christ and stay strong. And let me encourage you, don't be weary in well-doing. I'll be honest with you, it gets tiring sometimes, and you say, what's the point? But do not be weary in well-doing. Keep standing up for Jesus Christ. Keep telling them that Jesus is the only way. And lastly, I'll promise I'll let you go. His declaration was Jesus. His declaration, look at verse number 19 with me. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not. You've got a job to do. Stay here. But saith unto him, go home to thy friends. Now, I love this phrase. It actually is not talking about friends. It's actually to go home to your house. this blesses my soul. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I like to run laps too, glory to God. But I'm too fat. But we look at that verse and he's saying to go home to thy friends. Go to your house. It's not go round your friends up. And I begin to look, Brother Steve, well, what is his home? Well, I look back in verse number 3, I believe in the same chapter, and he's saying that his dwelling was among the dead. Among the graveyard. Is that his dwelling place? Is that his place? No, we actually look a little further into that word, and it's actually to his family. Glory to God. When you look at that, you understand that this man, the tares of sin and the power of the devil had gotten a hold of this man's life and had torn a family apart. But look what Jesus told him to do. Not only did I restore your life, not only did I give you eternal life, but I gave you another chance with your family. And I want your family, oh glory to God, hallelujah. I want your family to come to the same knowledge that you have now. And I want your family to know that Jesus Christ still saves and can heal and can do all things. I want to be used of God, but I don't want to be used in my own way. And it's not about me or anything else, like Brother Christopher was saying. But it's all about Jesus Christ. And our declaration needs to be that it is Him that does it. And what do we need to declare? Salvation. What is the great thing that he has done? You look at that verse. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Not just somebody else or random person, but for you. Glory to God. I wonder if there's anybody here that had somebody that something happened to them, that God had done something for them. I know that God has done something great for me. I know that Jesus Christ saved my soul and he's delivered me out of the pits of hell. And I have eternal life and I've got a home. Glory to God. And I'm waiting to go there someday. And he is coming again. And my declaration needs to be, look what the salvation of Jesus Christ has done for me. I just want to brag on God. That is our job to do, brag on Him, how good He is. We're not to be ashamed of what God has done for us. It's the Lord that pulled us out of the miry clay and set us on a sure and solid, a spotless foundation. And He's the one that did that. It wasn't me trying to pull myself up because I would have just sank lower. And it's the Lord that brought us from darkness into light. Because if I was trying to do something, we'd just grope around in the dark. But thank God the true light came and showed His light into our lives. And now we can see that the blessings of God and the salvation of Jesus Christ. We can declare that Jesus saves. And at the end of that verse, number 19, look what Jesus also says. Not only to tell how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. I just go, thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. Did y'all ever play those games? We were crazy as kids. You'd lock hands with each other and you'd start trying to twist somebody's wrist over the side and nobody. I know Brother John did it because he about broke my wrist when I was a teenager. Glory to God. He's stronger than he looks. Amen. Boy, that mercy where you just go ahead, you'd twist down and you'd start trying to do something until finally, mercy, mercy, mercy. I can't take it anymore. I can't do anymore. Jesus Christ gave us mercy. I'm unworthy. I'm unfit. I'm unclean. But God has given us the mercy that He's given in saving our soul. Praise God. Saved my soul. Took my sin away. Took me from the pauper's house where I didn't have anything. And now I've got a mansion. God, I mentioned being prepared. I've heard my dad say this, Dr. Steve, so many times in my life. I may not look like I have anything here on this earth, but I truly am a millionaire. Why? Because of what God has done. The mercy that I have been seen. Now look at verse number 20 with me. And he departed, speaking of that devil possessed man, and began to, look at this word, publish. In Decapolis, how great things God had, or Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Where did he start? In his hometown. Where did he start specifically? With his family. Began to tell them Look, I met a man that couldn't deliver me. Boy, there's people that couldn't deliver me over time and years and years, and I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. Can I steal something from, this is bad when you steal your son's preaching. My son said, Dad, have you ever thought that demonic possessed man might have been sitting on the hillside and he's looking over the sea and that storm that was raging, Lord of God, that storm that was raging all over that sea, and he might have saw Jesus Christ walking and stepping out on that pier, on that boat, and said, peace, be still. What, Brother Earl, what if that demonic man thought, he can do that? If he can do that to the wind and the sea, and they obey him, he can help me. If he can do that to that, he can help me, and he can help my family, and he can help our family be put back together. And now he's in this state where he absolutely knows that he's been saved, and he's going to trust in Jesus Christ, and now he's publishing it, and now he's praising, and then now he's persuading other people. Come and see a man. I want you to meet this man. Say, well, did he do a good job? Well, turn with me. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 8. The book of Luke, chapter number 8. This is great. And if you'll wake up for me for just a second, you can go back to sleep after this. Was he effective in winning others to Jesus Christ? Luke, chapter number 8, verse number 40. And it came to pass. Same story, synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned back to the same area, the people, what does that word say? Gladly received him. For they were, my contacts are deceiving me today. They were all waiting for him. Now, real quickly, and I'll close. I told you, Jesus Christ told this man, I've got a job for you to do while I go do something else. But I'm coming back, and I need you to tell other people. Jesus Christ saved my soul, and he told me, Shane, I got a job for you to do. Brother Jose, I've got a job for you to do. Brother Ray, I've got a job for you to do. Brother Shane, I've got a job for you to do. I've got something that you need to do, and now I got to go away and I got to do something else. But while I'm gone, you've got a responsibility. You need to tell people about Jesus. That why, when he returns, we'll receive him how? Gladly. And how will we be? We'll be waiting for him. I believe that there's a crown for those that are waiting for his appearing. Oh, glory to God. May, Brother Ray, may our lives right now be so used of Jesus Christ to be able to say that, Lord, I know that times are rough, and I know that things are difficult, and I know that this world is going contrary to everything, and I know that I have no control over it, but I know, Lord, that you've got control over it, but I have a job that you've left me to do, and I'm going to do it faithfully. I'm going to go and witness, and I'm going to go tell others that you are saving power, that you are a healing power, that you are the one that we can trust our lives and our everything. Glory to God, Brother Steve, I can trust my wife with Jesus Christ, and I can trust Daniel with Jesus Christ. I can trust Ethan with Jesus Christ. I can trust my little girl, glory to God, my 14-year-old little girl that began to have problems just short of a year ago. But thank God that I could claim, and I know that when I'm not able to be with her, and when she's having things in her life, and if Ethan's having things in his life, or mom or dad or my sisters or any of you are having something in your life, I can trust Jesus with all of you. And be able to go out and say, glory to God, there he is. Praise God, there he is. Can I share with y'all a wonderful time? There's going to be a time that all these worldly cares are going away. And Jesus is going to fix it all. And I want to take as many people, Brother Jim, and say, come on, be ready. He's coming. I want you waiting for him. I want you to gladly receive him. I want you to know that he's on his way. He's going to return. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus is on his way. Be ready. Be waiting for Jesus. My challenge to you would be simply this tonight. Are we going to sit in our eight walls of our church and say, boy, that's a good in the Bible? Or are we going to go out and do what Jesus Christ had commanded us? He's coming. Be ready. Be waiting. Boy, I want you to go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Heavenly Father,